All right, welcome to Tennis Sucks, pickleball podcast by Travis Rhett and Maya Graham D'Amico. I'm Luke, the producer. And Graham, I want to say congrats to you for winning Moneyball.
Thank you.
Second straight Moneyball.
Second straight.
Done. Wow. You must be absolutely loaded. Is that where you get all your cash from?
I'm putting it in drawers. I'm putting it into crypto because the halving just happened. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah, it did.
The halving happened.
Yeah. Based on historical, going to go up 800% now.
That's funny.
Well, I'm converting all my worthless paper money into Bitcoin.
Smart. Smart.
So you played with Austin Chechlikoff. And
teaching cats to love. Yeah.
How did you feel? Was it a pretty easy win for you guys?
Not easy. No, it was a very long, hard, hot day, but we won it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair and square.
Fair and square. Yeah. Regardless of what other people will say.
Well, I put some footage together of a particular line call.
It was the conclusion of the entire event. It was the part that made it so interesting.
Final game match point, money ball point. And I'll get you guys to watch this. If you just hit play on this, yeah, this is a slowed down version of the one.
I've seen this.
And when you obviously watch it, please look at Graham's face.
I've seen it 400 times because of Travis.
He looks surprised, right?
I've slowed it down. So play that one first. This is the first clip.
All right. I'm glad we're bringing this up so I can clear it up to
inside the line
to all of our suckers.
Yep.
Yes, there is a camera angle that looks horribly in. And first off, I didn't make the call. Austin made the call.
Said, yep.
But the video is missing some frames, obviously.
Sure.
Luckily, somebody saved me and had almost the exact same angle with another video that makes the ball look 6 inches out, which it was. It was several inches out. Well, it wasn't even close to being
look
in.
Look at this one and then
and
see
I'm
the
confident
difference.
With our call, with Austin's call, he was correct.
The only thing that really... Yes, that particular angle does look out. They're obviously missing quite a few frames on this particular one. But the real telltale sign here is Graham's reaction. Yeah. Right? He's like...
The face.
No, no, no.
I can't fucking believe it.
My reaction... This is honestly my reaction. That match, it was a best of three, took probably an hour and a half because it was just grind points, like grind. Yeah. I couldn't believe the end of that whole sequence ended with a lob, first of all, which hadn't hit the whole match.
I love lobs.
And a lob that went like kind of like out, a lot out.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just like, that's how this match is going to end. This is how I'm going to win the money.
You've been playing all day, Graham. You were dehydrated, as you said.
I was.
Maybe you couldn't see very well.
I didn't make the call.
Moment. Right. But you are in that position based on your call video that you make, you know, like. You're
please,
in the appropriate
please.
Position to call that ball.
They're teasing me, guys, so the true fans know. Trust
Listen,
me.
Graham
it's been
does
verified
not cheat on
by
purpose.
All the spectators. The ball was way out.
They don't know. Graham does not cheat on purpose, but he did miss this call.
All right. In the words of Travis, let's move on, Luke.
Moving on.
Yeah, there you go.
Cheater.
Moving on. Huge congrats, Travis, for taking home bronze this weekend.
Thank you.
You had quite the reception here at Crescent Lake.
Yeah. Love these people.
How does that feel to come back to Crescent with a big cheer like that?
I mean, you know, I rep Crescent really hard when I'm out there. So just the fact that I get a little love when I come back, it's awkward, you know, like I just prefer to be a standard derelict, but to be, for people to acknowledge that I had a good weekend is cool.
Yeah.
Like, how could you not like that?
How many PPA medals? Is that your second PPA medal?
I think it's my third.
I know Etta Wright and you took a mixed, right?
Etta and then Deacon and I got one.
Got a bronze also?
Yeah, in North Carolina last year. I think that's it.
Okay, so three. That's not bad.
Yeah, I think that's three.
But I think what people don't understand, like, it's a big deal because besides South Florida, I don't think there's anyone in Georgia that's winning medals, right? There's no one in North or Central Florida winning medals. That's a big deal for this area. Like, put St. Pete on the map. So,
right.
Huge congrats, Travis. A men's bronze medal at a PPA these days is enormous. It's awesome.
All right. So, we just had to jump cut there. Definitely not because I forgot to charge the battery that powers the podcast.
Probably because of the battery.
Luke never forgets anything.
I never forget. I'm an expert at this. And so we're back.
Cells, yeah.
Back for day two to finish up the other 40 minutes, the 45 minute podcast.
Let's go, baby.
So let me pick this back up. I think that where I landed was you played last weekend with Zane, and when you got there, you discover that he's injured. So tell us through, talk us through that.
Yeah, so it was actually, he was fine. Totally good. Played mixed normal the day prior. We go out to warm up. He's his chipper self, making jokes, blah, blah, blah. Hits like the 12th ball of our practice, or our warm-up. He has a two-handed backhand, and he just hunches over and like almost like falls. So I walk over, hey, are you okay? And he's grimacing in pain. And you could tell right away he was very concerned, and it was somewhat serious. And so I thought we weren't going to play. From my perspective, it was like, all right, we're fucking out of here. And he went over. He had select medical help him out. I took my Theragun and cupping devices that I have with me, that I take with me all the time, put those on his back. And then the guy was just a, you know, he said, basically, I'm going to play right all day. I'll be your Colin Johns. And he was a stallion, man. Like the guy, the biggest thing is like, I could hear him grimacing during balls in our matches where it was painful for him. And he never complained. Not once. Never made an excuse. Never said shit. The only time he would reference it is if I said, hey, are you okay? I'm fine. I'm fine. All right. Fucking go. And he was, you know, it was commendable. Like to have balls like that, you know, for a guy 140 pounds soaking wet, it was pretty commendable.
What was the injury? Do you know? Like a pinched nerve?
No, he's had spasms, like muscles. Like he obviously tweaked something in his back. And then he's had like, sometimes when you, I've done this, but you have like this kind of almost like a palpitation in your back. Like it's a just a spasm. And he had that. And it can be really debilitating.
Did it get better throughout the day? I think it got better.
I think it did, yeah. And then by the next day, like if you watch the match when we play against Augie and Connor, he's very mobile, much more mobile.
Yeah.
You know, but I think for us, like it was a great learning curve because we had never had him exclusively on the right. And I think it settled him a little bit. Like his role was very clear. My role was very clear. And it kind of helped us find a style of play that we hadn't tried before.
So are you going to try and switch to have him on the right more, or is that just
no,
a temporary thing?
Our objective is honestly to play it straight up. I think that's our best asset. And if you watch the match where we play Tyson and Jaume, we switched to him on the left, even though he was obviously struggling with some mobility at 8-3 down in game two. And we start to route them. Like he just provides very different threats on the left than I do. So I think the idea that we can change the shape of our drives, that we attack differently, is going to be really challenging for teams. So, you know, hopefully as we progress, we'll play 50-50.
What other teams play straight up that are like?
So I think that's where the new wave seems to be going. But Thomas Wilson and Alshon did it when they won Minnesota. Alshon and Zane did it when they made finals in Austin. And I don't know if there's like a steady team that does it, but I think it's a very good skill. And then especially if you find like a winning formula, like it seemed we did when I moved to the right, like you can just stay there.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. I do out here. I'll do it because I stack a lot. I play right side. But right. If we are suddenly 2 or 3 points in a row, we lose. I will unstack for that 1 point just to change the look. And it usually works like a timeout.
I think it does too. Yeah. It's definitely a disruptor. And my drive is much straighter than Zane's. He has a lot more dip on his. And I think just that alone, it's like, shit, it's a different shape. It's a different ball.
Back to one thing I didn't know. You have your own cupping?
Yeah. Like a digital cupping thing.
Does it create those black and blue marks on you?
I have them on my fucking thing right here.
Wow.
On my back. On my leg. Yeah, it's cool. It's you just like plug it in, boom, and you push the button and start sucking. They're cheap, like $35.
Damn, I didn't know that. I thought you had to go somewhere to get that done by like.
I'll get them for you, Graham.
And by like, you know,
this will be a
Chinese
genuine
medicine
gift,
or something.
Genuine gift as opposed to the big pickleball.
No, I don't
want
that. I definitely don't want that.
Oh, really?
Thing. Yeah.
You can handle it?
No, I don't want that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I don't. The market makes me uninterested in it.
Oh, okay. The mark on your body.
The black and blue. It, you know, like a leech got a hold of you for a couple hours.
Okay.
So you're concerned about your appearance?
No, I'm concerned that it must hurt making that mark.
No, it doesn't. It feels really good, actually.
Could we do it on the pod?
Yeah, I'll bring them next time.
Yeah, right on my butt cheek. Yeah.
No, that's not happening. Put on your arm.
Is that where Zane needed it? You said it was his lower back.
No, I put it center back. And I think he enjoyed it.
I bet he did.
He didn't ask for it.
Where was this taking place?
In the players' lounge.
Oh, gotcha.
What are you trying to insinuate here, man?
Just trying to get a full picture of this scenario of you cupping Zane.
I was very concerned about my partner. I tried to be a good partner.
Oh, man. So I think that it says here that you need to maybe learn the skill of how to build your partners up. Why don't you talk us through what you mean there?
So I actually watched our matches back, and I even do it sometimes. I don't even fucking notice I do it. And I don't think it's like a personal thing for me. I think it's just a genuine reaction. But like, for instance, Zane went for a ball line, which is absolutely the right ball. And he misses it by like 3 inches. I want to say this is like 7-7 game three against Wright and Wilson. And I'm like, you know, I have like a reaction with my body.
Sure.
And I would have the same reaction if I missed it. The exact same one. But Zane, like, I made a few pulls that were terrible pulls. You shouldn't pull from there. Every single time I did it, Zane was like, great pull. Love the aggression. Keep it going. He just like has this ability to instill belief in you that you're good. And there was one particular instance also in the match against Garnett and Augie where I attacked Augie early. He counters and he was quick. Like it was a good counter. And I look at Zane, I'm like, man, Augie's fucking fast. He's like, yeah, but you're way faster. Like fucking that was the reaction quick. I was like, you're right. I am fucking faster. And then like eight hand battles in a row, I won after that. And we were hot. Damn. And so his just, he has a, you know, like a leadership quality. And I need to be better about that. I need to know how to not be so tied to maybe the result of what's happening, but more like, how do I help my partner?
Yeah. You could start being that way with me. You could practice when we play together.
I think
a great place to start.
I think practicing with you is actually a huge detriment because I'm constantly in this state of disappointment.
Yeah. So I've been telling you this for years now. I feel like
think not practicing with you is the key.
Can you be more positive when we're playing together?
You are impossibly positive with. No, you're right. That's actually like Mount Everest right away. If I can conquer fucking Everest.
Tell me how fast my hands are.
You're lightning.
Tell me how good my drops are.
You got the floppiest wrist I've ever seen. I was positive today.
You were.
Thank you.
I'm still thinking about it.
You are.
I'm in a good mood because of it.
Holy shit. Oh. Wow. God, I got some power here.
He said I'm a top 10 drops maybe on the planet.
No, that's actually true. Graham's drop consistency is literally top 10. Wow. If I had to choose my life is on the line. Travis, you can hit a drop in the kitchen or Graham can hit a drop in the kitchen. I'm taking him every fucking day.
Wow.
Impressive, Graham.
Believe that?
Yeah. Well, your best drop on the planet.
No, top we're 10. Not going there.
Top 10.
It's not the best, but it's a top 10-er.
All right, so we got some work to do.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That match against Hayden, I think that it's worth pointing out. There's that one point, the point that has, you know, I've seen a lot online already. The nasty Nelson. Is it nasty Nelson or was he just a body bag?
Just a body bag.
It was a body bag, right?
He fucking uncorked.
Talk us through that.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, there was a guy there, Jeff Warnick. For those of you who are familiar with Jeff, he's like the OG shit talker of pickleball and he's very, very good at it.
Yes.
And he was like Hayden's buddy, mentor maybe, but they played a ton of pickle together and they're friends. So Jeff was there double fisting by the time we were playing. And I'm like, you know, we're jibber jabbering before the match. I kind of make fun of Hayden's hat. He makes fun of my outfit. It's like, all right, we're gonna have some fun here. And I tell Jeff before the match, I'm gonna lob him left and right. So when the match started, I basically told Hayden I was gonna lob him 5 times in game one. I think I exceeded that number. And I was talking some shit. And then like the first lob that I hit over him, I put the, you know, like the guys, the NBA, like you're too small. I did that thing. And I think I pissed him off. And I kept going and going and going and going and going, which I was doing on purpose. It wasn't personal at all. I really actually like Hayden a lot and like his game. I root for him. But yeah, he got fucking pissed. I got on his head. There's nothing else, you know, like, so I gave him a short ball, a normal ball, and he had no intention of making it. I could kind of see it coming, but I couldn't get out of the way in time. And he hit me in the arm as hard as he could. He didn't smile. He didn't laugh. He was clearly pissed. And then he found me after the match because I kind of hugged him after the match like, hey, don't be so upset. I'm a fan of yours. He called me weird. It was like, no shit. I'm weird. I got it. But he found me after the match and basically apologized. He's like, I'm sorry. You were in my head. Fucking lobbed me so many times. You know, he was getting pissed. But it was all good in the end. You know, like we were very friendly with it. But yeah, like he's very easy to lob. He's small. You know, he's big in personality, big in game, but stature-wise, he's small. So it was a smart play. I think we won 9 out of 10 or something like that.
What goes through your mind if you're like doing some shit talking to people and you can see it's really getting in the head? Does that give you more confidence while you're playing?
Exactly. Absolutely. It doesn't stop there. Unless you see the like self-destructing, And then, you know, maybe you tone it down for a second because they're already in their own head.
Sure.
But yeah, I think you keep it going, especially if you find like, you know, and look again, never anything personal really. Like Hayden, the short thing is maybe like the barrier of where I would go. I'm not going to say anything negative about anyone's personality or their looks or anything like that. Some people do. But yeah, if I said your backhand dink is broken and then you float two backhand dinks in a row, like that's going to keep coming.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Right. And do you find that you play better or when you're getting chirpy with people or do you play better when you're just focused and not going to worry about it?
Me is the only way I know how to play. Like if I don't make it personal and a little hostile, then I kind of suck. I get very soft for whatever reason. I don't know why that is. I wish I had the ability to be, you know, more like lighthearted and loving and friendly. Like I'm having fun talking shit, but I do try to make it a little more personal and it kind of puts that chip on my shoulder. That's important.
Right.
For me. I have to feel a little hate.
Right.
Who are the best shit talkers?
You know, Brandon French is number one.
Brandon French. That's one of our favorites.
He's the best. It's
okay. Who else? Warnick is good at it.
Warnick's really fucking good.
Matt Wright.
Matt Wright is the most annoying shit talker of all time.
Good at it.
So good at it. And again, he doesn't do anything personal. And
what about Goldberg?
Yeah, he's very good. I don't like the bing bong thing, but yeah, he's good.
I mean, in some ways, I feel like that is a good thing.
I haven't heard the bing bong in a while, actually.
You might hear it this weekend. He's playing with Ignatovich.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, that's wild.
What about the women? Who's good shit talking on the women's side?
Rachel Rohrabacher.
I think Rachel, yeah.
Anna Bright.
I don't think Anna talks that much.
Not during matches.
Rachel's annoying as shit. Like, she just is fucking in your face from the first point.
Is it the just screaming or does she have like a catchphrase? Like what is she?
No, I think she's just more like a scream and like that's the spot, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But Matt's are super annoying. That's out.
Yeah.
You know, Julian Arnold's notorious for shit talking. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he gets really heated with it. I like French the best because it just seems like he's in full control of what's going on. Like he's running the show. Everyone's reacting to what he's saying.
Yeah, right.
And Hayden's great at
Hayden's
it.
Really
Hayden's one of the funniest
good.
Guys to watch yes. play pickleball.
Sure.
No yes. question.
Which I was disappointed. Like I thought he would like call me old or like a geriatric. And I was like, all right, that's good. Let's get this going. But he was silent.
Wow.
I think he was surprised that I came at him as quickly and as hard as I did.
Right, caught him off guard. I feel like that happens quite a lot. It's like a build up in the match. You know, maybe after the first game, people start getting a little bit more competitive and it starts coming out. If you come out the gate strong, like that's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's best for me though, is like even when we played Augie, first time he attacked, I was like, you can't come here. It sets the tone.
Yeah.
And there's some people I feel like you just for some reason don't trash talk. Like even out here, it's like some people you love doing it with, and there's some people you just don't think to even do it. Like, would you ever trash talk like Etta Wright?
No, not
you
know. Possible.
There's just
not
certain possible. People that you just yeah. I can't.
That's a great
explain
example
it.
Because I was trying to think like, no, I'll trash talk anybody, but no, Etta.
You
I
would
never,
right?
No, I would never.
Like Etta, your backhand sucks.
Right,
you feel like an idiot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah,
there's just some people you just don't do it. There's some people you can't help but do it. Like Mario for me out here.
You do. I still notice
there,
that.
There are some people I just cannot help myself with, and I don't know what
though.
It is.
You're kind of a mean trash talker.
I'm a mean trash talker.
Yeah. I think it's because it doesn't come naturally.
That. Yeah, exactly. So, he doesn't know how to do it. Yeah. He's like, you're fat.
But it works. Some people, it gets
well,
it.
Yeah,
I get it people's
would,
head for sure.
That might upset some people, Graham.
All right, I'll tone it down. I'll tone it down with you're fat. The fat trash talk.
Please, that's not acceptable.
That's
but Mario,
funny.
I'm pretty good with. It's lighthearted.
No, Mario's great. You guys, okay. he's his skin is very thick. But there's some maybe you're like,
you're right.
You guys a prick.
You're right.
What about Mick? So you got up to what was it, Colin and Jesse? Is that
no,
right?
We played Colin and Tina Pisnik.
Tina Pisnik, right?
Yeah, I mean, Lacey and I aren't very good. Sadly, we're just not a good team.
Right. We've said this before.
Yeah. Not a good team, but I think the amazing thing was Colin was probably like the 35th best mixed player. Now he's like top five, I guess.
Yeah.
Just because he switched to the Gen 3 Yola. Like you literally have a guy who couldn't hit a drive faster than 20 miles an hour, now hitting fucking bullets and, you know, hands battles and being authoritative and darting the ball. And it's like, that was the eureka moment for me of, wow. We're literally in a sport right now where you can buy athleticism, force, spin,
right.
just buy them.
Right.
And so, you know, like it was astounding how much better he was in mixed how much more threatening he was with that paddle. It's fucking crazy. And he got bronze. Like, Colin John getting bronze in mixed. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
No offense, Colin, but that shouldn't happen.
And so you were commentating a match that he was playing and were giving some notes on what you couldn't say?
Yeah, yeah. So they basically said, like, can you commentate this match? And he was about to play Tyson and Megan. And I was like, well, can I talk about his massive improvement in mix with the paddle? No, can't talk about that. Can I say that he uses the Gen 3 for mixed and then he goes back to his old one for men's? No, you can't say that. Like, all right, so I can talk nothing about the paddle and the advantages of it. No. All right. So I'm going to have to be really, really nice here. So I just kept saying things like, wow, Colin's counter there, very firm.
That thing came off hot.
Came off really,
he's finding
really
the sweet
hot.
Spot every Sheesh. Swing.
Man, he rotated that ball incredibly well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Other news. So Roscoe Bellamy had a great run in singles.
Yeah. Great wow. kid. Dad started the tennis channel. And I think he's making real progress.
And his mom is like one of the best senior pros.
Yeah. Graham would know more about that probably than I would. But Beth is still playing. Does she still play?
Yeah.
Yes, she does. Okay. Yeah. She's solid. She's easily a top three female.
Okay.
Or better in the senior women's pro tour.
Yeah. Yes. She was there helping him during a lot of the matches, coaching him up. I tried to give my two cents. I'm a Roscoe fan. He's a nice kid. So yeah, great week for him. He beat Tyson along the way and had
beat
me first round in three. And he showed that he's probably going to be a very formidable singles player. His backhand pass is fucking disgusting. It's filthy.
Do you think that we'll start seeing less podium finishes for Tyson in singles?
I don't know. I think if he gets a hold of that paddle, I think he's still adjusting to it in singles a little bit. But if he can figure it out, I think, no, he'll be just as good, maybe better, because it's just so powerful and so much spin.
Just having injury issues right now.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, but singles is like one of those things that really exacerbates that stuff. Right. So it's kind of like, do you reach a point in a return with that? I don't know. Right.
He had a good week in doubles and mixed. You know, he's obviously playing very well. Just maybe his mobility or it wasn't as sharp in the singles.
Or he didn't want to push it. Yeah.
Right.
And then Ben and Anna lost to David and Wilson. What did you guys think about that matchup, Ben and Anna? Did you think that that was going to be a surefire like gold medal?
I didn't think it was a surefire, but I certainly thought they were heavily favored.
I thought it was a given. I didn't think they would lose. Yeah, I was shocked.
Okay,
I think that.
Did you watch the match?
I saw pieces of it. I did not watch the whole thing. I know you told me to go back and watch it, and I will. But I think that Ben might suffer a little bit from what you're suffering and not being the best partner in the world.
Yeah.
And not staying overly positive with his partners.
Right.
And maybe bringing Anna down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like making
her
feel. I
think she's also used to like very vocal, strong partners with Rachel and even James. They're vocal people.
They talk about.
I don't think he talks much.
They talk about what they're not happy with.
Right.
Whereas Ben is just showing it. Showing it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just being
in his body language. Yeah. That makes sense.
So do you think that we'll... I mean, it's not often that Ben has to go and find a women's partner, but do you think that that'll be the end of it? Or do you think they will play again?
No, I think he and Anna Lee will play every event. Always.
Okay.
Yeah. Till the end of time. So, no.
It's probably
a one-time deal, which is probably why Anna felt so much pressure.
Right.
You know, it's a great feather in the cap to have, you know, you win an event with Ben Johns. And it wasn't very important to him is what it looked like. He's like, fuck it. You know, if we win, we lose. And I don't think he gave credit to how Anna was feeling about the situation.
Right, right. And then Stackscrewd has finally taken over Ben in the points.
Number one singles player in the world.
Who would have thought this early on?
I got to tell you really quick. He asked me to warm him up after my bronze. The warm-up was so taxing.
The singles warm-up?
Yes. Like 45 minutes, okay? Like a full-fledged tennis warm-up, essentially. Forehands cross court, backhands cross court. He's shuffling. He's in the middle and he's shuffling outside to a drop. Back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. We did cat and mouse. They're like really exhausting, taxing drills. I was like, are you sure this isn't too much? No. This is what I do. Like, fucking A, man.
You have a win against him. Remember that?
I wrote him now. I was like, I won the first singles match against you at Punta Gorda. I remember no other singles matches.
Travis is like, it's like Stacks. We're probably first tournament. Travis beat him in singles.
I'm down 8-1.
Nice.
Yep.
Do you think that Fed is going to be pretty much firmly placed in the top now? You think it's going to go back and forth? What's your predictions on that?
I think he'll always play more events than Ben. And yeah, I think he has a better game for certain players than Ben does, especially with his mobility. But, you know, I think the guy that's also going to show out is Xiaomi. I think he's going to be top three here pretty quick.
That's actually not how it's pronounced, I was told today, but I couldn't tell you the correct pronunciation.
Jama.
Yeah, that's it. Jama.
Okay. Oh.
But yeah, I wouldn't bet he's not going anywhere, man. The guy's 8 straight finals now. Like, he doesn't fucking lose.
Right.
It's just sad he's only won 3 of the 8, which is kind of bizarre, but that's just the way it's gone.
What about Garnett? Do you think that he has a shot at getting in the mix there?
I don't know. He doesn't reach very well, and that's a big issue. You know, on the backhand side, he's obviously super fast, incredible groundies, especially on the backhand, plays with a real joy. A lot of things you got to love about his game. But, you know, Fetty's so good at the cat and mouse and like being able to reach and dictate. That's a skill that I don't know if Connor quite has yet. Mm. If he adds it, sure.
Yeah. I might be wrong. I'd have to go look at the stats, but I feel like Fed tends to win when Ben is knocked out of the bracket more than he does actually beating Ben directly.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Ben still has a pretty substantial win-loss record against Fetty, but Fetty doesn't lose to people that Ben does. You know, it's weird.
Right. So I guess maybe just a game style, like way of playing. Right. Like,
I think it's stylistic.
Yeah. So let's see. There's kind of interesting news of pairings and some breakups. So we've learned that after this Red Rocks Open, that Fetty and Tejas are going to be splitting.
Yep.
Is that confirmed? I think that's confirmed.
Yeah, that's
right?
Confirmed. Yes.
So any thoughts on who they might be going with?
Fetty's going with Matt Wright, I believe, for the majority of the second half. And maybe has a few mix-ins here or there. Hopefully I'm one of them. And I think James is mixing around a lot. But I don't know. Oh, sorry, not James. Pablo is mixing around a lot. So I know Pablo is playing a few with Hayden. I'm not sure who else. But yeah, he's going to mix around a fair bit. But it was definitely time for them to split. They had kind of some, you know, you could see like trauma in their matches where they were separating and they had such a good rapport for a while. They were so like on each other's side.
Yeah.
And it seemed to fall apart a little bit. Mm. But I think they're still super close. Like, I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would you match them up with?
Pablo?
Think? Yeah.
I mean, I think he and Ignatovic will be a good team.
I don't think him and Hayden are bad.
No, Hayden's fucking dirty. Yeah. Him and Hayden will be good.
All the same people that Travis wants to play with.
Right.
Basically, all the left side monsters.
Right. Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And then we also have Tyson and Dekel, who I think...
I don't know if that's confirmed yet, but Jama and Tyson, I think, will be playing a lot more.
Yeah.
And I also know, like, Jama's moving to... Idaho, I believe, to live with Tyson.
Wow.
So, like, if they're going to spend that much time together, it makes sense. And they obviously have a very good rapport. They look like they're having a blast playing together this weekend. So, that's not too surprising. Mm.
So, a little preview of the Red Rocks Open. We've got Ben's not playing.
We miss Hayden and Callan.
Oh, yeah. Hayden and Callan. Sorry. Yep.
And then James and Matt Wright, no mas. So, those are the four teams that are splitting right now. Don't know who all those are playing with, but that's the shuffle, the mix up as of right now.
It's a big shakeup.
It is a big shakeup.
A lot of new partnerships coming up.
Yeah. Okay, Red Rock, sorry.
Yeah, so Red Rock. So Ben is not playing singles.
Neither is Travis.
Right. Well, Travis is here. He's here the whole time, right? So
Travis and Ben will not be making it for singles at Red Rock.
Pretty similar.
Are you just taking this one off, Travis, or was there
a reason? I had a family obligation that I had to attend to.
Got it. So that's
he's getting circumcised.
Again, it grew back.
That happens, yeah.
The second time.
Reptilian.
Once you reach a certain age.
Yeah. Flapping around. I gotta get out of there.
So Ben isn't playing singles, but he's back with Etta, not Anna Bright. But Anna Lee is still not back. So that'll be interesting. And then Rachel's not playing, so Anna is playing with Smith. Kylie Smith, is that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Anna's playing with Kylie Smith.
Didn't I wouldn't have seen that one coming. I don't know that I would
That's an odd one. I wouldn't have seen that coming either. I think Kylie and Lucy might be splitting. I have a feeling that that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like last podcast, we were just talking about how there was some really like crazy drama around some line calls when they were on opposite teams, which makes me feel like if they are splitting, then there could be some tension there.
Yes. I think there was a very poor line call made against Lucy and she maybe took, you know, didn't take it too kindly.
Right. So I didn't see who Lucy was playing with this round, but
I don't think she's there.
Oh, maybe not. Yeah. Okay. And then we have our buddy Brandon French playing again. He's playing with Wyatt Stone.
I'm going to tune in for every possible match that I can. And if you're not tuning in, then you're missing it because, you know, there's been a lot since that particular match of people begging, like, please put mics near the court or on the players because it's fucking hysterical.
Well, they're doing the bench now, right?
Yes. Oh,
right. They tried that out. That was really interesting. I like that a lot.
There's going to be so many profanities. They're going to have to be careful.
Oh, on the bench, they're cursing a lot?
I mean, I do. So I'm just saying, like, I imagine most do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that knowing the bench is mic'd up would change how you discuss your strategy, knowing that the other players can then go back and watch it and get inside your head mid-game?
Maybe. Yeah, I think they're pretty, like, reluctant to share any information. So maybe they'll...
Yeah, we have to start holding cards in front of their mouths and whispering to each other.
Possible.
So you can't read lips.
Little hand signals. And then George is playing with Fed. What's your take on that? You think that's a good matchup?
Yeah, they'll be really good. I think that's a good partner for Georgia. Fed's so steady, so solid. And I think they have practiced quite a bit, have a good rapport. I think they'll do really well.
Yeah. All right, so tell us about Carol.
Oh, this is fucking great. Going out for my match.
Carol.
I fucking love this. And I mean, I said to Zane right away, like, anyway. And she's like, the umpire comes and she says, who's the first server? I'm the first server. Or sorry, excuse me, Zane will be the first server. Okay, my name is Carol. Big fan of the podcast. And I was like, okay, please don't hold that against me. I don't. I love what you guys do. Okay, great. Like, Zane, you hear that? She liked my podcast, not yours. He's like, yeah, no kidding. And I won't go into the details of that, but he's like, yeah, no kidding. Something like that.
That's amazing.
I'm going to be on their pod next week.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, shout out to Carol. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks, Carol.
Carol the sucker.
Appreciate you.
Are we cool? Did we say that we're going to change the name of our fans from suckers if we change the podcast?
Yeah, we talked about this.
Rackers?
I don't know where to go with that.
The backers is not bad.
Backers. Yeah. All right.
Interesting you went to Rackers. a lot of questions.
Backers was sitting right there. Easy pick.
And he took Rackers.
And he goes, Rackers. It could have been honors.
He definitely didn't charge that pack.
Today you just sent us a clip of the Sorry Not Sorry podcast. We called you and Zane the podcast duo?
The pod team.
That's pretty funny, which kind of like made me think about this thing that Graham and I were talking about, which is, if we had a exhibition series of all of the podcast hosts playing, who would come out on top?
We're a shoo-in. Guarantee.
Guarantee.
I would literally put every dollar I have that Graham and I beat Zane and Thomas, route. And then whomever else.
Who else?
Jimmy and Tyler. Come on, let's not even talk about that. And then I don't know who else there is. Like, I think that's the legitimate... Oh, no, there's one that could fuck us up.
Oh, Tyson. No. They talk about us all the time.
Yeah, okay, Tyson and McKenzie.
Tyson and McKenzie.
That's going to be tight.
We can beat them.
But then the other one that would be almost impossible, I think, is Nunnery and Stone.
Ooh.
They still do a podcast?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Nunnery and Stone, yeah.
That'd be tough. We have a shot, but it's not looking good.
We didn't think about Nunnery and Stone.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It'd be a great tournament to hold.
Yeah.
The podcast tourney.
I would love it.
How's Stones play these days? Is he still playing? I feel like he's got a lot of dad duties going on and a lot of commentating.
I'm sure, but he was a very formidable player.
He was very good. I used to love watching Stone and Barr, man.
Yeah.
They were a great team.
Yeah, Stone wouldn't miss for 35 minutes.
Yep.
He actually said in one thing, he's like, everyone has trick shots. My superpower trick shot is I don't miss. That's it. He's like, I'm not flashy. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Damn. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to see if we can make it happen. Maybe if we can get the...
It's the new series, yeah. Who's DJ's co-host?
And he doesn't really have one, I think.
Oh, he doesn't have one?
He's just like mixing it up.
Oh, it could be him.
Solo? Might be tough.
Two on one.
Yeah, no, I mean, what do we got? We got Jill Braverman, but I mean, it's like, you know.
I think we've mentioned the most formidable pairings.
Yeah, that's right.
McKenzie and Tyson and
Stone and Nunnery.
Stone and Nunnery. Those are tough.
I mean, yeah, because Anna doesn't do the podcast with Dylan anymore. So that's not really a matchup. Yeah, all right. Well, let us know if you want to see this this series of exhibition matches. We'll see if we can
start a GoFundMe.
Go get a GoFundMe. Yeah. The US Open. We didn't get a recap of that, but just some shout outs to
Graham's lack of integrity.
Go on then. Yeah. I have it. Yeah. So lack of integrity where it's March 12th was the deadline. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's for the indoor court. I still don't know what's happened with that. He told me I'd have an indoor court to practice on by March.
I'm more upset than you are, trust me. It's very, very close.
Okay. And you know, I'll give this to Graham. He is never a overpromise, underdeliver human being. It's not what he does. He's actually the guy who won't talk about things until they're concluded. So I assume that the reasons are very, very valid. But nonetheless, I need a fucking court to put on my ball machine so I can work on my two-handed shit.
Do you have a ball machine?
The one that I gave to you? Sitting in your home?
Got you.
Ernie, thank you. Ernie Pickleball Machine. Yes, they sent me a ball machine and I would like
they
to do some
drills. They sent us a ball machine.
Okay, well, they I would like to do some drills with their stuff, but we can't use the ball machine here, so I need a spot.
Okay.
Are we trying to do like a single one? Like a separate one? Or are you talking about the indoor?
The indoor, yeah. Oh, okay. Just two temps while we're doing it under construction.
When they get the building, just put down a pickle roll and let's have a spot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I guess we'll leave the cheating alone.
Wait, so what integrity are you talking about?
His poor line calls.
Oh, we already did that.
We did?
Yeah.
Okay, that was all. We're good.
Yeah, we have to talk about it again?
That's covered.
Yeah, let's bring it back. Bring it back.
I'll ever stop talking about it. Anytime I see a question,
please
we'll call,
make sure you show the correct footage of.
Why is it correct?
The right angle that shows it 6 inches out.
That, I told you, that one's missing a lot of frames. Mine
it's
is
It's not missing
not.
The important frame, which is the out ball.
Yeah. So back to the US Open. We had some people locally go and play. Preston was dead during it, so yeah, we felt it. So do we have to shout out some people who did pretty well in the
Rudolph and Carlos got third in 5.019+.
Yep, 5.019+.
That's a hell of an effort. And I think they lost early and won like 9 in a row.
They lost early and then beat that team in before the bronze medal match. They went and beat them again. Yeah.
I would say Justin Rudolph is probably our most improved player at Crescent?
No, he's not. He's just steady Eddie. He's very good.
He's gotten so much better.
Well, since when? He's been good for 6 months, in my opinion.
I said a year.
Oh, in the last year?
I used the word year.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot of people who have improved a ton at these courts. But yes, he's one of them for sure.
Okay. Well, to me, I feel like a year ago, he was a 11-0 walkover and no rallies. And now he's like one of the best players to play against here.
I'm pretty sure Brooke got 10th in pro.
Damn. I think that was it, yeah.
I think
she's a talented girl.
Mixed, was it mixed?
I don't remember. No, I don't think it was mixed. I think it might have been women's.
In
doubles.
Women's, yeah. I think she placed 10th in pro.
That's awesome.
At the US Open. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Who Anna else? Lee and her mom won women's doubles again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. She won mixed with JW. JW and Dylan won men's against Daiescu and Tardio. JW seemed really juiced on it.
How about JW and Anna Lee?
Yeah, winning mixed. That was really cool that they were playing together. They beat Daiescu and Megan in the final, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
I think it was a rout.
So funny that, like, you know, Anna Lee wins and she's like jumping up and like trying to get excited and JW's just like, okay. It's just such different energy, man. It's so funny.
Yeah, but it was weird. Actually, that's what I was kind of implying. After the men's doubles, when he shakes hands, he turns around and he gives a pretty substantial roar.
That's
and
right.
He's like, okay. Good for you. Fucking get that shit going.
And didn't Jack Foster win singles?
He did, yes.
How about that's a huge
that's
shout
a
out.
Huge
Jack
win.
Foster takes home a US Open gold medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
they were
huge.
In the final. JW got third.
So vis-a-vis, that means Clark Bonassi technically is gold
the
medal
US
Open standard.
Clark Bonassi. One, you should be here. What the fuck are you doing with your life? You hate it there. You know it.
Is that because he beat Jack Foster in singles?
Yes.
Fucking Jack Foster on an indoor
greatest
court.
Upset of all.
No. I still, it does not compute. It does not make sense. Keep in mind, do you remember when I played Clark? He had half the court to cover in singles and he had to win 1 point. We were doing those bets just for 20
yes,
bucks.
Yeah.
And I think he owed me like $80. He couldn't win a point. I won 4 straight games, 11-0. This guy beat Jack Foster. It's not possible. Jack Foster's fucking good.
I think Jack Foster needs to give Clark his medal from the US Open.
I think we need to talk about that. I actually might call Jack and ask about that. What the fuck happened? I'm going to do that tonight. I'm writing him on Instagram literally right after this. I must know. Something was wrong. Doesn't make sense. Aliens coming down is more probable.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, if anyone wants to get US Open ready, then come to Crescent Lake and compete for a while, and you'll be ready.
I'll be the US Open champion, just like Clark Nost.
Yep.
All right. Well, yeah, that's all our topics. So I guess it's time for you guys to go to the back of the rack.
All right, Rackers.
Back of the rack. Tennis still fucking sucks. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.